Welcome to the Steamboat Springs Winter Sports Club Show, presented by Honey Stinger. This is a podcast that will make you want to get outdoors and will give you some great ideas as a sport parent, athlete, or coach. Born in the beautiful mountain town of Steamboat Springs, Colorado, the Winter Sports Club was founded over a century ago and now serves a majority of kids in our community and has produced more Winter Olympians than any other club in North America. There are secrets and great stories to share as we play year-round in these mountains we call home. Our calling is to develop complete athletes on and off the mountain by cultivating a passion for the outdoors and a love of sports at all levels. Stay tuned to hear from Olympians, athletes of all ages, coaches, experts, and people who are doing amazing things to make an impact in our community and in their sport.
Hey everyone, I'm your host, Nicole DeBoom. I'm a former professional triathlete who finally discovered the joys of skiing in my late 40s when I moved to Steamboat Springs with my family. We immediately discovered the Steamboat Springs Winter Sports Club, and it's become a huge part of our lives as my husband, Tim DeBoom, is a ski and bike coach, and my daughter, Wilder, has found happiness, friendship, and joy through skiing, jumping, riding, and more. I am thrilled to bring the positive energy of the Winter Sports Club to people all over the world. Thanks for listening. Now let's get started. Hey everyone, we are back and better than ever. Today we get to pick the brain of our head U10 and U12. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Nordic coach Deb Rose. Do you go by Deb?
I do.
I mean, a fake.
My real name, my actual name is Deborah. With the A-H, I'm a Deb, not a Debbie.
No,
a lot of people know that.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm not a Nikki either, but I'm a Nick.
You're Nick?
Yeah,
okay.
But Nicole.
You go by Nicole.
Mostly.
Okay.
Okay, so let me keep, I got to share a little more about you.
Okay.
This is going to be fun. So everyone, Deb is no stranger to coaching kids. In fact, she's the longest tenured coach at the club. She's been here for 41 years, probably longer than many of you have been on skis, and some of you were not alive.
Yeah.
Deb, I cannot wait to hear your story. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Nicole.
What a blast. Okay, so I researched you a bit and, you know, talked to people behind your back about you.
Yeah, all good.
It's all good. And I learned that skiing wasn't your first sport. It
Correct.
Sounds like you grew up in the pool.
I did. I grew up in Iowa, Iowa City, and my father was a college professor there. So, of course, in Iowa, there's, you know, hit and miss with the snow. Not that we were even thinking of that. And I'm from a very big family, so my mother had to get all of us out. So swimming was the thing to do.
Okay, wait, how big is your family?
9 total.
Oh, wow. Where did you fall in?
I was number 7. So I'm not sure if that was a lucky number or that my mother just forgot, but she had her hands full. Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. So you were like born into a community.
Very much. Yes. Wow. Very active family and obviously very loving. My parents were very into us, if you will. They were pretty busy. Mom, you know, she was taking care of us. And Dad being off, he was also an athletic trainer for the football team and whatnot. So he was busy.
That's amazing. You know, it's funny. I'm from the Midwest, too, Chicago. And I was a swimmer. I mean, literally, your parents look for something they can do with you year-round. Yeah. And when one kid joins swim team, every single kid has to join swim team.
Oh, correct. And, you know, with the pool being closed right now, Nicole, I really, because I, you know how you go through adult life and you kind of leave that sport behind for a little bit and you pick up something else. And I started swimming with the triathlon club, the little triathlon club here. And then we decided, well, why don't we just swim through the winter? And so once a week, we'll all meet up and we'll swim early in the morning. And clearly, I'm not a great swimmer. I love to swim because it makes me feel good. And even when it's cold, and I'm a chicken when I get cold, but we just made it work. And but now that the pool's closed, I'm like, got to pick something out else. So
yeah, it's working. You know, I get that whole thing though. And this is probably going to translate into the other sports we're going to talk about today, which are winter sports mostly. But you start like with swimming, you do it when you're young. A lot of us burn out. We're like, oh, that black line at the bottom of the pool, can't stand it. But there's a reason that all of the 60, 70, 80, and 90-year-olds are like swimming again. It keeps you young at the end.
Incredible. Yes. Incredible. I just saw something with a 93-year-old woman that just swam a 400, and I watched a little clip of her diving off the board, and it was just the most, and she did the backstroke, and she did also a breaststroke, but I would love to be there when that comes.
Yeah.
Which
totally.
Is just around the corner.
Oh, stop it. Okay, wait, how old are you?
I'm 67.
I mean, seriously, there's a fountain of youth going on here. What's that secret? Tell me your secret.
Oh, thank you. I wish I had the secret. You know, sometimes I have to be really completely honest. Coaching is my fountain of youth. It really is. These kids have kept me young. They've kept me enthusiastic. Then the option B also is sports. Clearly, you know, being older, you know, you realize you start seeing that you're at that precipice and now I'm kind of hanging off the, you know, I'm rappelling down. But, you know, you don't go there. It's still the fun factor. And I enjoy doing sports. I just do. When I'm doing something during that day with obviously friends, I think about what I can do the next day. And it's not like I have to go and work out. I don't ever get that. And I don't know why. It's just always been that way.
This is interesting. You know, there's a guy who studies longevity, Dan Buettner, and he's written these books about the blue zones in the world. And they're really interesting. They're fascinating to me. And you're pointing your hair. No, it's not blue hair.
No.
And they call them blue zones. But there are areas in the world where they have a larger than normal population of people that live to 100 or older. And
I wish it.
Well, there's these a few tenets that are things that are similar in all of these places. And one of them is that the people generally have something to look forward to. And just you talking about when you're working out, you're looking forward to the next workout. That is a reason to stay alive, to keep living and keep enjoying.
I really do. You know, and you know, as you age, and somebody said, you know, just more wisdom, if you will. I'm not sure if I agree with that. But, you know, you have to make peace with where you're at in your age. And there's moments where, you know, you get those aches and I get the aches and pains. And then I kind of get into that pity of, and then the next day, okay, it's like, well, that doesn't hurt so bad. And there's moments where you're like, kind of in that hole. And then you climb back out and after I've done something like Sunday, I think we're all kind of in a little bit of a funk, all the other girls that I work with, train with. And once we got done skiing, we're like, wow, I feel way better. You know, and I do. Yeah. And they feel the same way.
Yes. You almost never regret doing the workout. Oh. You don't always want to go, but when you get there at the end, you don't regret it.
No. The hardest part of the day is swinging your feet off the bed.
I think we could wrap it up right here, everyone. The hardest part of the day. You get through that, it's going to be a breeze.
Oh, totally. Yeah, totally.
So I'm hearing, you know, after Iowa, there was another phase here, and we can hear it in your voice. I believe you moved.
Yes. So when I was at the age of 12, my dad picked up the whole family, and we moved to northern Minnesota, Bemidji, Minnesota. Complete difference, you know, obviously for my parents and my older siblings, I think it was harder for them. Never really asked them, but I'm sure it was being older. And 12, I loved it. Obviously the snow and whatnot. And that's when I picked up Nordic skiing in high school. And they had a Nordic team for women, which was rare because they're really, at my age, there really wasn't a lot of sports to do for women. I wanted to play hockey. Because that was a big hockey community in Bemidji, and it still is. But they didn't allow women. So it's like, okay, well, I guess I'll go ahead and do Nordic. And, you know, at that time, you don't think of, oh, darn it, I can't play. You're just like, okay, move on. It's like, what can I do? So that's where I picked it up. And, you know, I try to run early in the morning. It'd be below zero. And you just kind of embrace what it gives you and the weather and whatnot. And yeah, I just enjoyed it.
Wow. Okay. In general, a lot of us sometimes when we get stopped in our tracks, we sit there and we bemoan the world and how unfair it is. And I love how you learned very young that you don't think that way. Instead, you turn it immediately. What can I do?
I do. And that's the thing. I do. I don't want to always say that I'm just this chipper and positive and all of that. I still have that negative, those negative thoughts and whatnot. But I try not to be in there for very long because why? I enjoy what I do, and why not go that way? I'm not saying it's always perfect. It's not. But I'm not sure where my train of thought was going with that. But it is, you know, not always positive, but I tend to be more positive than negative, I think.
Well, yeah. Totally. And I mean, I think that's probably part of the reason that most parents who find out that you're coaching the U10s and U12s are highly encouraging their kids not to quit before them because they want to get a piece of you, which makes me actually want to segue a little bit into your coaching. So I know there's a path here. You know, you first got on skis yourself in high school. Did you continue to pursue skiing through college?
No. So then when I went to college at Bemidji State, BSU, they had a field hockey team. And so I jumped in with that, and I really enjoyed that. They did not have a cross-country team. But, you know, I did other things, that kind of stuff, you know, what it offered. And we lived on a lake, Lake Bemidji, and, you know, we had a great life in that respect of being very active, and we'd go water skiing and what, just, you know, mowing the lawn, you know, like hand by hand,
that
like
work
by scissors, but, you know, things that we had to do. And Dad would always bring, like, you know, a 10 yards of dirt, you know, and always have it the furthest away from the job. So we were constantly working all day. So anyway, those little things that, you know, it's like, Dad, what the heck are we doing?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's just like insane. So did you live at home in college?
Yes, because okay. The college was literally six blocks away.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. And so fitness, it sounds like, was just always part of your life.
Very much.
Okay.
Very much. And I think maybe that's why it's always been ingrained and definitely not, how can I say, not heavy-handed by anybody in my family. We just enjoyed, and everybody picked something different, you know, either tennis or some little bit of running, some obviously swimming when we were, you know, younger, but everybody's pretty active.
You know, and I think that is one of those things that if parents instill that in their kid when they're young, like just move your body. Really doesn't matter how, it does carry through. Even if you go through waves in college or post-college where you're kind of lazy, you're exploring the world and all that, something about it comes back because I do believe that there is a correlation between feeling great in your body and feeling great in your mind.
Totally. And it's like chasing endorphins, you know, and I really do it because I know how it makes me feel. And here's the one thing, Nicole, that I feel that I teach these kids that if Nordic isn't your sport, that's okay. You've tried it. If that's not your cup of tea and you try something else, I still want you to say hello to me. Because if you find something that just is a passion for you, have at it. I just say it's not TV. That's not what you get to do. But it's like, if you want to go ahead and do freestyle, or you want to do alpine, or you want to do hockey, or you want to do chess, something that is a passion for you, that is what you need to do. But
oh, and you are coaching this like perfect age where they are starting to find passion.
They are.
Because younger than that, it's not passion. They don't really, I mean.
The gummy bears.
Yeah, the gummy bear years, and they all just want to be like a famous rock star, you know, or
completely.
Whatever. But as they get to 9, 10, 11, 12, they're starting to actually find things that resonate with them. And you are there to help them figure that out.
I think I am. And, you know, as I've progressed through the years of coaching, how I started 41 years ago is not how I am as a coach now. I do have a little bit of that imprint, but It is about these kids to embrace who they are and to have them nurture in that sport and then to kind of keep moving through. As for competition, you got kids that they just choose not to do it at this age. But my goal as a coach is to give them an adventure outside. That's the goal. You know, we'll stop, say we're climbing and we've been climbing, say, forever. You know, like I never talk about kilometers or we're going to go ski this long distance today. Nothing like that. It's always our intervals are relays. Our long distance is an adventure. If we have a powder day, we scrap the workout. We go search for powder. Of course, a powder is a very long climb up. So these things, and it's just an adventure, and we'll stop and the sun setting, and I'll say, guys, look at that. You know, isn't that just the coolest thing? You know, because kids are really like this. You know, they have those blinders, and they're just like right here. And so I try to open up their whole vision of look around, you know, and also, this might be, I'm kind of being off on a tangent, but I'll see a young kid come to training that day, and you can tell that they've had a tough day. They're not crying or whatever, but they're a little bit quiet. And you know, as time goes on, you can really read them. And I'll just say, a tough day at the office. And I'll say, is it school? Is it a teacher? Is it your peer group? And sometimes they'll kind of nod a little bit. And I, you know, we always say, this is a safe zone that if anytime you want to talk, we're here, the coaches are here. And, you know, coaching, I'm really lucky because I have a handful of coaches that work with me that are incredible. They have the same kind of a philosophy, but they bring a slightly different take on coaching. And I want to have that brought that in. And I've just been really lucky to have these great support system with the other coaches.
Oh, my God. Okay. There's a lot of places we can go with this.
Okay.
You're amazing. Truly, those are all those philosophies, all the things that you just said are your objectives with kids. They're all the things that we as parents want for our kids. And they're all the things that kids want. They might not know it yet. One of the things I love that you do is you change the semantics.
Yes.
You use words. One single word can change how somebody approaches something in their mind.
Correct. Oh, correct. And when I was saying, you know, you can see when they come to practice and at times they're low on energy. So, of course, we have the cookies flow before practice because you can kind of just tell, or I bring some dum-dums for, you know, the little suckers. And that helps them because they're sucking on sugar and they're listening, but they're tired because they've been sitting in a warm classroom all day. How can you get up and go from there? So I try to tell them about opening a package slowly, like Christmas. Don't rip it open. When you start your training, go into it nice and slow, and your body's going to start kind of warming up a little bit more and warming up a little bit more. And I said to them, by the end of practice, I'm going to ask you how you feel, how you felt at the beginning, and now how do you feel after practice? Do you feel better or do you feel worse? I've never, ever had the answer of worse. It's always better.
Wow. Okay. Everyone take note. These are tactics we can use in our parenting too.
Oh, I swear.
It's amazing. Yep. Okay. So wait, how did you find Steamboat? Let's go back.
Okay. So long story, you know, obviously, you know, past boyfriend. And he had kind of known about Steamboat. We're driving through, and obviously, beautiful. It had snowed and whatnot.
Were you on your way to, like, a new adventure in California?
We're talking about centuries, Nicole.
Do you remember this?
Remember the centuries. Okay, centuries ago. And it's a relationship I probably don't really want to remember. You know how those...
Oh, yeah, totally. We can skip that part.
He on the good thing, he brought me to Steamboat, and... I fell in love with it. And then I did leave for a couple of years, and I went down to Las Vegas, and I worked for my brother. He ran pools down in Las Vegas. And of course, from Steamboat to Las Vegas, oh, good gosh, that just wasn't my MO. I couldn't do it. So after 2 years, I came back. And I've had multitude of jobs, And I just came into this job actually from a Nordic combined coach from many, many years ago that asked if I would start coaching. I mean, like, I guess so. You know, like, do I know anything? And I had, I think I want to say maybe 3 to 6 kids. And it was, I loved it because I was also an instructor on the mountain. And I went from, you know, teaching adults. And that was a frustration.
Well, and you were teaching them alpine skiing?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yes. And looking at what an adult had try to learn a sport. And, you know, you only have them for a few hours. And I realized it wasn't, I didn't love it. I loved when I came to practice for Nordic, I loved it. So I went changed from alpine boots to Nordic boots. And it's like, I enjoy this. Yeah.
You know, I think most of us strive to find careers that we love and to have our passion be our work. And very few people are, you know, able to accomplish that. So I feel like being young in your, you know, mid to late 20s or whenever that was,
yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, having figured that out early is, I mean, what a gift.
Well, yeah. Well, thank you. And I didn't know that, though. I think I luckily fell into it. And I did. I really did. It wasn't like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. It just kind of came to me and it's like, I really like this. Yes. So.
Okay. So it was, I mean, do you have multiple jobs and have you had multiple jobs over the years?
Oh, yes, I have. All
there
over
are
the
3 to 6 kids can't sustain a full-time coaching gig.
I went from a lifeguard at the pool at the Hot Springs.
Awesome.
And then I ran heavy equipment. And that was...
What do you mean?
Well, you know, loaders. And like, you know, you see the big, you know, loaders clearing the snow off, you know, Lincoln Avenue. But I worked at a gravel pit just out on River Road. It's not there anymore, but they still have the ponds and whatnot. Every time I go by, I was like, yeah, that's where. And so I worked there running heavy equipment. And same thing as like, I'm not a sitter. I needed to kind of move. So, I mean, you know, how do you move from one thing to the next thing? Then during the summertime, I worked at the golf course, mowing, not sitting on a mower, hand mowing 8 hours a day. That was,
wow.
That was hard, but it's like, at that age, it's like, oh yeah, this is great.
You know, I remember mowing the lawn in a bikini with a Walkman tucked into my bikini bottom.
I would have short shorts, and of course, you know, that era, you know, centuries ago.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that woman in those short shorts. She cannot be doing that. It's
oh,
like, you know, you're thinking, it's hot. I'm wearing shorts and a shirt. It's like, come on, you know. But so a multitude of different jobs, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's funny. But yet, coaching was consistent.
Very. Yes, I kept that going. There was one season in there that I was pregnant with my first child, Paul. And so obviously during that winter, and a young skier from Alaska was here. And I want to still say that I consider that me, I was still coaching, you know. But anyway, yes, so there was that little break in there, but very consistent all the way through with all my 3 children.
Okay, so that means that did you find a partner along the way that was not the boyfriend that brought you here?
Oh, yes. Oh, that boyfriend. No, that's long gone. No. And I met my husband, Nick, via running heavy equipment. So, yes.
Does he still run heavy equipment?
You know, he is grooming at the Touring Center. He's, you know, obviously we're older and he enjoys grooming. And he's actually right now working with the NCAAs. He kind of is like the head guy, if you will. You know, just he's so such an organizational guy that he's doing that. So he still grooms at the Touring Center. He loves it.
Oh, that's so great. And your kids, what are they doing?
My oldest, Paul, he is a firefighter at North Route Fire District. And then my middle child, Mary, who took her skiing to a professional level, Nordic skiing, and now she is married, and they live up in Sun Valley, just south of there, Haley, Idaho. And she's not skiing now. She kind of, you know, being married and different job, but... And then Our youngest, Olivia, she's here and she just finished up grad school and she works as a mental health counselor.
Wow. Okay. So being a coach and having kids, did you employ the same philosophies and tactics with your own kids? Did you ever coach your kids?
Yes, I did. And there's times that I felt that I was really good. And then there's times you look back as a mother and say, now, why would I have said that to my kid? Because I would never say that to somebody. So, you know, it's a different take having your children in Nordic. And obviously, you push harder. You push harder. And then as I got older, I look back and it's like, gosh, you know, did I push too hard? Did I say the wrong things? You do what you do at that time. You know, and I've tried to learn, I don't know why I said that. I'm really sorry. You know, but if Mary continued on, they still love to ski. Olivia loves to ski. You know, Paul, when he can get it in, they love to ski. He loves to swim. So they're still very active.
You instilled the lifelong passion for this sport. But you said something earlier that I don't know anyone who doesn't suffer from this, which is, why would I say that to my own family when I wouldn't say that to a group of kids I coach? Why do we do that?
Oh, I know. What the heck?
We need a psychologist. Get in here, whoever you are. Is there a psychologist in the library right now?
Here we go. My daughter. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Bring her in.
And I think, too, sometimes my kids read me a little bit differently. It's like, I would say, you know, because I would say, if they had a bad day racing, I would agonize for them. But sometimes that's hard for a kid to read a parent. They would think that you were disappointed, and I would never be disappointed at them. You would agonize for them. Obviously, you always want your children to do well. You know, you're going to fall. You're going to trip. You're going to have to get back up. But sometimes you just have to lay down for a while. You know what I mean? You like to just stay there and just cry. So, you know, you agonize for them. But knowing that they're okay, I guess I did, you know, do you know what I mean? It wasn't like, you know, hard-handed to them at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I get it. I do. And now a quick break to hear from our show sponsor, Honey Stinger. Honey Stinger produces fuel for all levels of athletes using delicious honey and organic ingredients. Not only is honey rich in antioxidants, but it's also easily digested and absorbed quickly into the system to help you prepare, perform, and recover. Personally, if energy products don't taste great, I won't eat them, and I bet you agree with me. That's why I love everything Honey Stinger offers, because their products are delicious. You don't even realize you're getting fueled because it just tastes like you're eating dessert, and I have never met someone who doesn't love dessert any time of day. Discover what the buzz is all about on honeystinger.com. Get this, use this code SSWSCPODCAST for 20% off organic waffles, chews, gels, bars, and hydration to help you sweeten the burn. I'm going to repeat that for you because it's such a great deal. Get going over to honeystinger.com and use the code SSWSCPODCAST for 20% off. And now, back to the show. It kind of makes me want to go back and think about, you know, kids in the 80s and 90s versus the kids you coach today. Do you notice a difference?
Oh. No, I don't. No, I don't. I don't. They are still the salt of the earth. And is it different with everything? Everything changes technology-wise. They're still the salt of the earth.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that is like so refreshing to hear.
They're not, you know, like, how can I say, this is a not wimpy by any means. These are tough kids. They have a lot on their plate, from school to life to peer pressure to depression to, it's so much that they have. And I don't see it all, but sometimes I can kind of, like I said, read their body language. And they have a lot. And I didn't really see that back in the 80s and the 90s as much. Maybe because I was younger. And so could it be on me that I didn't see that kind of pressure? But what I see now, there's a lot of pressure. And that's kind of what I was telling you, Nicole, that I don't push the kids in the respect of, I push them in training in a different way. But I don't push competition. I would love them to compete, to try it. So I run this little Steamboat Cup series. And we have no clock on the, they all get a bib. They all have a relay partner. They all have different numbers of laps that they're doing. Like I said, no clock, no awards, nothing. So, and I had the last race we did a few weeks ago, I think it was a little over 50 kids. That includes, you know, my group, the U14s, the Nordic Combined. And it's really cool to see these kids, and they're trying hard. So it's a taste of competition without that pressure. And I don't want to be the person that says, oh, you know, everybody gets an award because you just showed up. A little bit like that, but I want them to get, it's their effort that I look at, not the result. And I don't, when we go out, we have to do these bigger races, the Rocky Mountain Nordic, and it's from other teams in Colorado. And we just actually came back from the super qualifier in Soldier Hollow. And there's like 90 kids in each age group, which is huge. And I never say to the kids, well, how did you place? I would say, how did your race feel? Because I don't want to ask them that, because it's different. Because I've watched a kid go up to the board and look at results. And when they thought that they had done better, you see their shoulders sag. And I know it's not always life like that. You're going to have that. I know it's, you know, like you're just going to have that. But I want them to learn about, I put everything into that race. Okay. I've won more strides up that hill and over the top that I did the last time. These little tiny things that we try to learn. Your tuck was so much better this time. You were able to stay in the track. These little things that you try to find that you're like, yeah, I actually scissor stepped around that tight, tight corner.
Yes. Okay. So kids are not changed, but the pressure they face is, and their perception of, you know, performance may have changed.
Yes.
Do you think the parents have played into that? How have the parents changed in 40 years?
I have, and this is just my take on Nordic parents, they're incredible. Truly, and I'm not just saying that because they're Nordic parents, but I've never, and I know I've got a perfect age, U10, U12s. So they're little sponges, and the parents are also sponges too. But I've had incredible parents and incredible kids. Never a troublemaker, very respectful, just really, really good kids and good parents. And I think, too, with parents, what I've done over the course of many years, even if it's just a quick little sentence to a parent when, you know, they're picking up their child from practice, I'll say something really quick, like a quick sentence. Or if I saw something at practice that I didn't get to see that parent, I'll email that parent what I saw that day. And they like that little small, like they're part of their children growing up in that sport. And they're like, wow, this is really, really good. You know, they feel good about what their child did that day. You know, I don't get to see every parent every single practice, but I'll see somebody and it's like, oh, this is what they did today.
And that's part of what makes you very special as a coach, because it is hard to pay attention to the detail in every, you know, and communicate that way with the parents. You know, Tim, my husband's coaching right now. He's doing the Skimo program and mountain bike in the summer. And he tries hard, but he hasn't quite figured out how to perfectly master like communicating with everyone as frequently as he wishes he could.
Yeah.
And so it really is a skill that I think you learn over time as well. And you probably also get a sense for what parents really need it.
I think so. I don't want to say that everything I do is just always perfect, Nicole. It's not. Have I made mistakes? For sure. You know, that's just kind of part of growing up. And growing up as a coach, but knowing that, you know, you're the downside or making a mistake, that you can actually apologize. I can apologize to a kid when I've said something, like if I came to practice and I was a little bit grumpy, And I'll say something to a kid that maybe wasn't real positive, not bad, but enough to where it felt wrong to me. I'll say to that kid, hey, I'm sorry. That wasn't the right thing to say. Teaching them that you can be human too, even though you're older, you could be human too and make mistakes, and apologizing to somebody that's younger.
You know, I think when you do that, you show that you yourself are also vulnerable, and it helps anyone yes. that you're communicating with feel more comfortable and want to open up to you as well. So huge kudos. Funny, my neighbor, one of my good friends, is Sandy Graves. Her son is Sawyer. He's in the program.
Uh-huh.
Amazing jumper. And she loves to use this phrase. I mean, I do stupid stuff all the time. She's like, Nicole, we're all just humaning together. We're humaning around this world together.
Completely. Completely. Like, even yesterday, Nicole, there was a young high school skier that, you know, he blew through basically right past the door of the yurt. This is where our little locker room is. And, of course, there's a fence for the NCAAs, and then there's a sign for the lift thing. And of course, he's trying to squeeze through, and it was really icy. And it was a complete 10-yard cell. And he almost took me out. And, of course, you know, the first thing I do is I look at him, and I glare at him. And then I realized the kid was just trying to get through. And so the next time I see him, I'm going to have to say, hey, I should have probably said, are you okay?
Gosh, why do we always?
Because like, you know, I just glared at him like, how could he almost run into me? And I thought, oh, no, because I look back.
Because you're
like,
humaning.
Yeah. You know, like, I'm always the first of the fight. And it's like, okay, slow down, listen. But, and it's like, next time I see him, I'm like, hey, sorry about that. I should have said, are you okay?
You know, is there any advice that you would give your, 27-year-old self? Your 41 years ago, 26-year-old self when you were just starting out that would help you today?
And I'm still learning this. Listen more. One of them. I think I have multiple. Listen more. Definitely more empathetic. And positive.
Honestly, I hear that in you today. So
thank you.
You've learned it.
Oh, thank you. You know, sometimes I don't want people to think that, you know, I come in here and I'm always, like I said earlier, you know, always chipper. No, there's life is ups and downs, and everybody goes through that, and everybody has a full plate. Everybody does. And you realize, you know, they go home and they can cry too. You know, they can laugh too. They're human too. These kids do the same thing, you know, and knowing that, you know, sometimes it doesn't even have to take any words, you know, just a hand on a kid's shoulder. And that's...
Yeah, that's power right there. That's connection.
That's all it is, you know. It's connection. Just like, you're not... Because we judge people, we judge ourselves, and like you said, we're just trying to get, through or just humaning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're all just in this big mix-up together.
Yep.
You know, okay, I think we've got just such an amazing sense of who you are and how you coach and what's important to you to pass on to these kids. I actually have like a sport-specific question I've been thinking about. So this is a winter sport. Well, what do you suggest these kids do in the summer? Do you want them out training for Nordic, or do you want them doing something else?
Okay, so for the age group that I have, I want them to do every single sport that they can get their hands on. Every single one. Doesn't matter what it is. If it's running, if it's, getting on their bikes, swimming, hiking, flag football, move. And as a kid at this age, the more you do for a different sport, the better balance you have, and it just makes you a whole. Because you see kids that are just focusing on one thing, and that becomes old. I don't like doing one sport. When I get done with Nordic in the wintertime, I'm done. I'm finished. Like, okay, I want to jump on my bike. I want to go to the pool. I want to try to do a little run, slow. But you know, you need to mix it up. And so this group that I have, I will put out saying, I want you guys to do, you girls and guys, I want you to do sports. And I think in this community is very active. And there's a lot of kids that do a lot of different things. Now, as they get, we do a 1 week camp in the summertime, and you know, so it's pretty intensive for, you know, four days. But we do, you know, we roller ski, we go do a long hike, we go mountain biking, then we go to the river when it's hot. So these little things that we do in the summer, and then as they get to be a U14, I think now they're going to try to open up hopefully a little bit more of a summer program where it's not just roller skiing on the road. You know, it's not just specific, because you want to be able to build that whole person.
Yes, the whole person.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I don't know. Are we ever fully whole?
Never. No, we're not. And that's, I don't know if, you know, everybody's searching for that, but it's also finding that whole could be, well, what's fun? Well, what can be enjoyable? What do I like to do? If it's going out and doing a hike, you know, have at it.
Yes. You know, you strike me as someone who finds joy in trying things, trying new things. And I wonder at this stage, what is there on your list of things that you'd still like to try?
Okay. So I started hockey here in Steamboat when I was at the age of 40. So I've been playing for 27 years. And the team that I'm on has a lot of these younger players. I would love to learn how to shoot way better.
Oh, I love that. You're still working on your skills.
Oh my gosh. I'm still trying to get up after I fall down. And I asked the coach, I said, so when you fall down, how can you get up really quickly? And she looked at me and she said, Deb, I can't help you with that.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
Yeah.
Can I ask you about the club?
Yes.
Okay. You've seen and been to a lot of competitions. You've experienced, you know, coaches and kids from other clubs. What makes our club special?
Coaches love to coach these kids. Every program, you watch it. You know, as a coach, we're not bringing in tons of money. You know, these coaches aren't. Nobody is from any program. And obviously it's not, it would be great if it was, how can I say this? The coaches love coaching these kids and all the programs. You can just see it. You know, we have our staff meeting at the beginning of the year. You can see it. The positivity of, you know, the administration and putting on these different events for all of these kids. So it's the coaches have a love for coaching.
And they're drawn to it. And they have people like you to collaborate with and, you know, look up to and learn from. And that's got to feel pretty special.
You know, in my coaching style, Nicole, isn't, you know, because I was telling you about my philosophy, is not the end all. It's just who I am. That doesn't mean that what I do is that's exactly how it should be done. That's just how I like to put my thumb on the scale for these kids.
Yeah. Oh, I just love it. You know, I want to sit here and talk all day, but my computer's going to die. And I forgot my charger. See, we all forget things. We're humaning. Deb, you're just so fantastic. I think we should get you on for part two here, and we can like actually talk about specifics or something. But I'd like to actually wrap up with the final question that we ask every guest who comes on the show. And that is, what is the greatest lesson you've learned through sport?
Learning, boy. Okay, hopefully your computer won't die before I answer this question. So for me personally, with my sports, and I'm not anywhere close to what you do with your triathlon and your husband, and I do some triathlons, and that's always been kind of a love for me. And as older, you know, there's a little bit less people in my age group. I enjoy kicking butt. I enjoy the competition. I enjoy pushing myself to those limits. When I don't do as well, personally, I beat myself up with it. And then after a few days, I've lived in that. And then I'll say, okay, so what can I do to do something a little bit better? Right now, you know, with the pandemic that hit and everything, and the triathlon events kind of went slowly. So now it's like gravel riding with a bunch of girls. And I enjoy doing that and pushing myself and being competitive.
Well, and what's really cool is that that is your personal driver, but you don't push that on the kids. No. It's like the opposite.
No, because I see how it affects me when I feel I haven't done well and I want to push harder and start and not kind of waddling in that whole thing of, oh, I guess I just stink. I'm not very good. I must just quit. Well, the fun factor was still there. You know, even the person that came in dead last in whatever event, my dad would say, you ask them, did you enjoy that? You know, give them a break to kind of catch their breath. They do.
You know what makes you so special is that you understand this negative self-talk where mm-hmm. we feel like we're only as good as our last event.
Mm-hmm.
You could win every race all year. You have a bad race and then you feel like you're the worst athlete mm-hmm. in the world.
Completely.
You understand that, so you know how to coach it. Wow.
Thank you.
That's pretty awesome. Wow. Let's just say we're pausing because we're going to come back again and do this again. We'll have to do it in season 3 of the Steamboat Springs Winter Sports Club show. Deb, thanks for coming on with me today. You are a gift to this club, to this community, and I'm so glad we are now friends.
Thank you, Nicole, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Steamboat Springs Winter Sports Club show presented by Honey Stinger. Check out the club's winter and summer programs at sswsc.org. If you have a special topic or guest you want featured, we'd love to hear from you. Now get out there and support, lead, or be a champion on or off the mountain.